Maybe you've noticed that not all sermons are the same. Some are preaching. You hear there's preachers, and some are teachers. There's teaching. Some messages are very inspirational and uplifting, while others are more informative and enlightening. Some are directed toward the heart and the will. Some are directed toward the mind. In reality, don't we need both, spirit and truth, to be inspired and informed? In today's message, I'm going to try to do both. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about baptism and hopefully inspire you to follow through and obey these verses and be baptized. And if you are already baptized, I hope you will share this with somebody that has not seen the necessity of baptism. They may be a believer, but they were never baptized, or they were baptized as an infant. So take notes, be informed, but also be inspired. We're going to be having baptisms on August 24th. It's in the bulletin there. We have a church picnic every year at Alpine. We feed you, and we have a lot of fun. But before we do anything, we baptize several people. And if you want to be baptized, please talk to me today to get on that list so I can make sure that you follow through with your baptism. Now, every couple of years, I teach on this important topic. I look back through my notes. This is the sixth time I've preached this message over the last 25 years. So I guess it's not every 2 years, but quite often I try to bring this up because it's a very important step that's often overlooked. We get saved, but we don't always get around to getting baptized. So I would like to encourage you to publicly declare your faith and be baptized. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you haven't been baptized, all right? But if you have been baptized, what you've done is you publicly declared, I'm a Christian. That's what baptism is. It's to tell the world that I really mean business about following Christ. So I just want to see who has been baptized. Just see all those hands. Look around your room. Look at all these people that have identified with Christ. Right now you're identifying with him again. But there's some of you in your heart, you know that you were baptized maybe as an infant, and you don't know how that all fits together. So we're going to talk about all of this today and encourage you, if you're in any way unsure, to talk with me, talk to Jonathan, and let's get you baptized. I find that there's some confusion about baptism. It's very important that we understand what the Bible teaches, not what churches teach or what people teach, because there's all kinds of ideas about baptism, and they conflict. We've got to come back to the authority of God's Word. What I've noticed is there's two extremes about baptism. There's one extreme that overemphasizes the importance of baptism. They say things like, well, if you want to become a Christian, you need to be baptized. Or baptism is a means to salvation. I often ask somebody, are you a Christian? They say, yes, I was baptized. And what they mean is somehow that baptism is what saves them. Does baptism save you? It gets you wet on the outside, but it doesn't clean your heart. That's not what it's all about. This is an error. Baptism does not cleanse us. It's just our way of telling the world what's already happened in our heart. Only Christ can forgive sins. Amen? Baptism is better seen as a symbol, an object lesson. In the same way we just drink this juice, it wasn't the blood of Jesus. It's the juice that symbolizes the blood of Jesus. We ate this bread. That's not the body of Jesus. It symbolizes the body. When we go in the baptismal, we die to self, we raise to life. That doesn't mean we're becoming a Christian there. We've already become a Christian. It's a living example, an outward expression of what's happened in the heart. So some groups overemphasize baptism. They say, you got to get baptized to be saved. That's false. You can be saved. The guy and the thief on the cross didn't get baptized, did he? But he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. We need to obey the Lord Jesus, but it doesn't accomplish salvation in itself. The other extreme then, the opposite end of the pendulum, is we underestimate the importance of baptism. We say, well, if I'm saved, why do I need to get baptized? If baptism is not necessary for salvation, then it must not be necessary at all. Well, many of us, that is wrong thinking. We're told to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is important because he did it, and he shows us in Scripture that we should be baptized as believers. You don't see any infants being baptized. You may say, well, I got baptized as a baby. Well, I'm glad your mom and dad had the faith they want to baptize you, but that didn't save you. You come to faith and you need to be baptized. That's what's called believer's baptism. So baptism is very important. It should be the new believer's first step. First thing you do when you become a Christian is you get baptized. If you delayed that, it's not too late. You say, well, I got saved a long time ago. I should have got baptized then. You should have, yes. But you can step forward and be baptized now. You don't have to wait. So I've titled my message, The Believer's First Step is Baptism. Baptism. It's not optional. It's not something that we should delay. It's the first step of a new believer. Like if you're on a ladder, the first step's pretty important, right? You can't skip steps, jump up to the fifth step. You got to obey it at the lowest level, obedience of baptism, and keep obeying as you go. So today, as we prepare for these baptisms in a few weeks, I want you to be considering whether you should be part of that baptismal ceremony. We're going to seek to answer six questions. If you have your bulletin on the back of your scripture reading, are 6 points. Take notes. This is very important that we understand and be informed of what the Bible teaches so we can obey it. Here's the 6 points. What is baptism? How should we be baptized? Who should be baptized? When should one be baptized? Why should one be baptized? And last question is the convicting one. Why do some resist baptism? We're going to seek to answer those questions in the last 30 minutes of our service today. We're going to let Scripture interpret Scripture. We're going to look at lots of verses. I'll display every verse that we read. So you have it on your sheet, and you have it on the overhead. Are you ready? Let's dive in, shall we? Dive in. Number one, what is baptism? Let me give you a definition. A biblical ceremony of immersing a believer into water to identify him with Christ and the church. Some important words in there. Let me say it again. A biblical ceremony immersing a person, a believer, in water to identify him with Christ and the church. Those who overemphasize baptism call it a sacrament. You ever heard that word, sacrament? We don't use that in our kind of churches. A sacrament is a sacred rite in the church that somehow imparts grace in itself. They believe that participating in baptism is like a sacrament that brings God's favor upon our life and brings us closer to God. That somehow we come into a relationship with God through baptism. It's just not true. Ceremonies do not save us. Rituals do not change our hearts. Our salvation is not based on a sacrament or a ritual. Our salvation is based only on faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So people come to me sometimes, they say, I want to be baptized. What they're really saying is, I want to get saved. They think that's how you do it. Baptism doesn't save you. You need to get saved, get right with God, and then show the world by baptism. So our salvation is a free gift of God. You can't earn it by being baptized or by doing any other ritual or ceremony. The Bible says salvation is not the result of works, of baptism or any other kind of works, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if baptism is not a sacrament, what is it? We call it an ordinance. You ever heard that word before? An ordinance, something that Christ ordained that we should do. Christ commanded that we should obey. These are things we observe. We have two ordinances in the Christian church. Number one is the Lord's Supper. He said, do this in remembrance of me, and baptism. He commands us to go and baptize those who are believers. So those are the two ordinances of Twin Peaks Community Church and most other evangelical churches. We don't call them sacraments. These are physical illustrations of spiritual truths. These are outward expressions of what's already happened in the heart. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. He was a great English preacher from many years ago. Quote, a man who knows that he is saved by believing in Christ does not, when he's baptized, lift his baptism into a saving ordinance. In fact, he is the very best protester against that mistake because he holds that he has no right to be baptized until he is saved. You have no right to be baptized until you're saved. You have no right to be baptized until you're saved. So baptism, don't come and say, I want to get baptized. Say, I want to get right with God. And after that, you get baptized. Our key verse is Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, Jesus said, and make disciples. That's first. Make disciples. Make followers of all the nations. And then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to observe, to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So there's the order. We make disciples, then we baptize them, and we teach them. So salvation's first. Being baptized is your first step after you become a believer, and then you go the rest of your life learning and expanding that knowledge. Baptism should be the new believer's first step. But where did baptism start? Now, this I really found interesting. I read John MacArthur's commentary on this, and I thought, well, that is crazy that I read a little bit more and found that there's quite a lot of background to baptism. We might assume that it began with John the Baptist. That was his name, right? It's the first time we see it in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 3, we see John baptizing. Let's read a couple of those verses. Matthew 3:1 says, Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to turn away from your sin. Get right with God. Continuing on in verse 5, Then Jerusalem was going out to see him, and all Judea, and all the district around him of the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. They repented, and they got baptized. They repented and baptized. That's the right progression. But the reality is baptism happened long before John the Baptist. In Old Testament days, baptism was practiced by the Jews. Way before John the Baptist, way before Jesus, we learned by listening to history. There's a man named Alfred Edersheim. He wrote a book called Jesus, The Life and Time of Jesus the Messiah. He wrote it in 1886. And so I confirmed some of this with the internet, but listen. In the Jewish religion, when Gentiles became believers in the Jewish one true God, they said, we want to leave our old idols and follow the God of Israel. They could do that. They could become proselytes. Proselytes? How do you say that word? Proselytes? They wanted to join the Jewish community. Here's what they had to do. They had a three-part ceremony. Number one, circumcision. That discouraged a few of them, I'm sure. If you were an adult and you wanted to join the Jewish religion, this is before Christ, it's way back in the Old Testament, you could if you would submit to circumcision. Number two, a sacrifice that actually had blood involved because of your sins. And number three, there was a baptism where they were immersed into the Jewish race or the Jewish religion and came out to follow the one true God. So baptism was done before John the Baptist. What made John the Baptist so radical, he was telling the Jews, they have to be baptized. The other teaching was, you Gentiles, you want to join us Jews, you need to be baptized and circumcised and brought in. Now he's telling everybody, you're no better than the Gentiles because you have sin in your heart. You need to repent, and you need to be baptized and follow the Lord Jesus. So the Jews had to admit that they were no better than Gentiles. All of us need to repent. All of us need to turn away from sin and follow God. Our baptism today says the same thing. It says, I am dying to myself in order to live for Christ. I'm going under the water like I'm being buried, and I'm going to rise up and live for him. It's an outward expression of what you believe in your heart. So what have we discovered so far? Baptism has been around a long time, even before John the Baptist. It symbolizes repentance of the heart and the desire to obey God and follow him. So number two, the question is, how should we be baptized? How? The same way John did it, the same way the disciples did it, the same way Paul did it, the same way the New Testament reads, is by immersion. It says he went to the Jordan River, not to splash water on somebody, but to immerse them into the water and come out. They weren't sprinkled, they were dunked, they were immersed. That's what the word baptize means. It means to immerse, to dip, or to submerge. There's no question that baptism is to be, one is to be immersed. Now, somewhere along the line, because we started baptizing babies, they didn't want to immerse babies, so they would pour water or sprinkle water. That's not the biblical way. You want to be biblical? Or you want to do it the way the church has sometimes perverted things? Let's do it the right way. Here, listen to this. Wow, Martin Luther, you ever heard of that guy? Listen to what he said. He said, I would have those who are to be baptized to be entirely immersed as the word imports and the mystery signifies. So Martin Luther, who started the Reformation, says you need to be immersed. How do Lutherans baptize today? Not by immersion. They pour or sprinkle. So they've even left their founders teaching. How about John Calvin? You ever heard of Calvinism? That goes way back, doesn't it? The word baptize signifies to immerse. It is certain that immersion was the practice of the ancient church. So when we're told to be baptized, we need to do it like they did it in the Bible, not the way tradition says to do it. You ever heard of John Wesley, the first leader of the Methodist Church? Listen to what he says. Buried with him alludes to baptism by immersion, according to the custom of the first church. So when we're buried in the water and come out, it's the idea that you're dying to self. So every single baptism is like a funeral. You're saying, I'm dying now to myself. I'm going to rise and live for Christ. So it's not only just a funeral, it's a resurrection. That's what it symbolizes. So how do we baptize? By immersion. We have a baptismal, which we've used many times in the past. One Easter Sunday, we did about 20 baptisms on an Easter morning right here. It was a beautiful thing. But to be honest, it's a little more work to set this up, so we'd rather use a pool. So we go to Alpine Pool, and that's part of our picnic. We baptize there. We have baptized in the lake. We baptized in rivers. Now, let me mention that I do make rare exceptions sometimes when someone can't be immersed. A lady named Dorothy came to us and said, I'd like to become a Christian, and she did. And she says, well, I'm in a wheelchair. I don't think I can get into the baptismal. And she was right. There's no way she could. And we wouldn't want to try to humiliate her, try to make her do what she can't physically do. So we poured water over her. So there's the exception might be, you know, once in a while when someone's incapable. But if you're capable of getting into the water and be immersed, that's the biblical way. God knew her heart, and it wasn't too long before she passed away and stood before the Lord. And I'm sure that she was welcomed because of her faith in him. How was Jesus baptized? Did you know Jesus was baptized? He didn't need to be baptized, did he? Yes, he did, to obey God. To do what's right, he would need to be baptized. Listen to this, Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John, that's John the Baptist, to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Verse 15 continues. But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said, if I want to fulfill all the righteousness, all that's encouraged to us from God, I need to be baptized too. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. What's that tell us? He was under the water. He came up from the water. Jesus, who knew no sin, who needed no repentance, submitted to baptism. Why? He says to fulfill all righteousness, because it's the right thing to do in obeying God. How much more should we submit to baptism? We who do need to repent, we who do need God's righteousness. So we should be baptized by immersion. Number three, who should be baptized? Let me tell you who should not be baptized. Two groups should not be baptized. Number one, infants. There is no, that's a cute picture, isn't it? Yeah. It's cute, but it's not biblical. Nowhere in Scripture do we ever see small children being baptized. Nowhere. Now, we do dedicate children. Now, I understand the intent of the mom and dad to bring that child. They want that little baby to be saved. They think by pouring water over it, it's being saved. That's not the little child's choice. That's mom and dad's faith. When you come to become a believer, you need to submit to baptism. What we do instead of baptizing infants is we dedicate them. We bring them forward. Remember that passage where Jesus says, "Permit the children to come to me." He laid hands on them. He blessed them and prayed over them. That's what we do. We bring the children forward in a public setting, and we dedicate them to the Lord, but we don't baptize them. The second group that should not be baptized are unbelievers. Doesn't that make sense? Baptism is not a means to salvation. It's not a ticket to heaven. There must be true repentance and a change of heart followed by baptism. Faith first. So who should be baptized? Only believers. Baptism is an outward expression of that they have trusted Christ. Remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8? We won't read the whole story, but God brings Philip out to a deserted place and sees a man in a chariot reading a scroll. And God says, "Go and talk to this man." And Philip went and approached the stranger, and the stranger's reading from Isaiah about the Lord Jesus, prophecies about the Messiah. And they have a conversation, and this Ethiopian becomes a true believer right on the spot. Philip shares the gospel. This guy's a seeker. He responds. And verse 36, Acts 8, 36, we pick up a story. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being what? Baptized." Verse 37, and Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." See what Philip did? He said, "Do you really believe? Is this your profession? Are you placing your trust in this Messiah?" He said, "Yes." "Then you can be baptized." Look at verse 38. He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, immersion. Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Did Philip delay the baptism and say, "Well, the next time you come to town, if you're still following, we'll get you baptized. We'll give you a testing time." Did he say that? He said, "If you truly believe on the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That's what we do. I don't know your heart. You'll meet with me and say, "I want to get baptized." I'll try to confirm just like Philip did. Have you trusted Christ? If you have, you may be baptized. He didn't delay. It was the first step of this Ethiopian to be baptized. That leads us to our fourth question. When should we get baptized? The sooner, the better. If you delay it, you may delay it longer and longer, and you may live 20 years as a Christian in disobedience to God because you haven't taken that first step of obedience. New believers. Now, I suppose there's a debate to be done with small children. I don't mean babies. I mean smaller children. They sometimes trust Jesus at 5, 6 years old. And sometimes parents really would like to see them follow through and get baptized. If they do at that young age, take a video of it so you can remind them every year that last year you got baptized, because they're going to forget it when they're 5 years old and they're suddenly 15 years old. And some get baptized young like that, end up getting rebaptized to kind of make it their own thing. It's up to you about school-age children, when and where. But for the most part, it's for a believer. And children can trust in Jesus, right? So we sometimes will baptize children, but not infants. How about this verse? Look at this. Peter preaches, and all these people get saved. What are you going to do with them? Let's read about it. Acts 2, 41. "So then, those who received the word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." He preaches, they respond, they get baptized, and all in the same day. That's how soon baptism can be. It can be immediate and should be as soon as possible. How about Acts 8:22? Here's Philip again. The same guy that reached the Ethiopian reached the city of Samaria. Verse 12, Acts 8:12. And when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. They believed what? They believed the good news about the kingdom, and they believed in Jesus Christ, and they could be baptized. So belief, then baptism. Do you remember the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? Remember, he was that man that was attacking the church, terrorizing the church. He eventually became Paul. His salvation experience involved traveling, and suddenly Jesus appears to him and knocks him off his horse and makes him blind and really humbles the man. And God speaks to him and says to go to a certain place and wait. And God sent a man named Ananias to Saul. Here he is blind. Ananias comes in and says, "You're Saul of Tarsus. I've got a message for you from Jesus." Acts chapter 9, 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house. After laying hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. I see the light. I see Jesus. I want to follow him. Get baptized. First thing. No delay. Paul's first step of obedience was baptism. That led to many, many steps of becoming the greatest evangelist and missionary. You got to follow through at the beginning and follow through. Later, when Paul was witnessing in a city called Philippi, he got thrown in jail. Do you guys remember that story? It's in Acts chapter 16. And an earthquake happened, and the jailer is panicking because all the prisoners are going to escape. Listen to this interaction, chapter 16, Acts 16, 30. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs," this is the jailer speaking, "what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." You and all that with you can believe in Jesus Christ and be saved right now. And they spoke the word of the Lord to them together with all who were in the house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. They say a month later he was baptized? Immediately, the day the guy became a believer, he was baptized, he and his household. And he brought them into his house, set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his household. There's a whole family that gets saved and get baptized right from the beginning. So I think we've answered the question, when? Right away. No delay. Number 5, only 6 points. We're almost there. Why should one be baptized? Why? I'm going to give you 3 reasons. Number 1, to identify with Christ. Christ got baptized, you should get baptized. This is the way we as Christians proclaim that we're associated with Christ. We're identifying with Christ. We're saying, "I'm a Christian now." You may have believed in your heart, but I don't know that. But when you get baptized, you're saying, "Count me in. I'm going public with my faith. I want everyone to know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." Bible teacher Dr. M.R. DeHaan, you've seen the Daily Breads. I think he's the guy that started the Daily Breads. He's a physician, he's a theologian. Listen to what he said. He wrote a little booklet about baptism. He says, "In the early days of the church, baptism was a declaration that the believer was definitely identifying himself with that group of people who called Christians, who were despised and hated. To be a Christian meant something. To identify yourself with those who were called Christians meant persecution, maybe death. It meant being ostracized from your family, shunned by your friends. And the one act, which was the final declaration of this identification with God, with Jesus, was baptism." So some would become Christians and they'd be quiet about it, but when they got baptized, that was the line that ostracized them from their families. So baptism means something. You're identifying with Christ and his church. In Romans 6, we're actually given kind of that illustration of this in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism, so that as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Here's the picture. You're saying, I'm dying to self, and you're being buried by the water, and then you come back to live for Jesus. We talked about that a few moments ago. It's a funeral and a resurrection that you're illustrating. Jesus died, Jesus rose. I'm dying to self, I'm rising. I'm declaring, I'm dying to myself, I'm burying my old life, I'm rising to live for Christ, I'm going to walk in newness of life. That's what you are saying when you get baptized. That has nothing to do with washing away sin. Your sin's washed away when you became a Christian. Now you're identifying with Jesus. Remember Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I have been crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives through me. So why be baptized? Number one, to identify with Christ. Two more points. Number two, to obey Christ. To identify with Christ and to obey Christ. This should be reason enough. If we say we follow Jesus, then start following Jesus. Do what Jesus did. This first basic step, if you're going to follow Jesus, follow him in this one. To disobey here is a foundational step, makes us likely to disobey again and again and again. Start right from the beginning to obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not just know my commandments, but keep my commandments. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. So why get baptized? Number one, to identify with Christ. Number two, to obey Christ. Number three, to follow Christ's example. Follow Christ's example. If baptism was important to Jesus, then it should be very important to us. Jesus said, it's this way we fulfill all righteousness. We do what God wants us to do. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says we're to follow in Jesus' steps. We're to live like Jesus, do as Jesus did. Jesus got baptized. He didn't need to. We need to. But he did it so that we could follow his example. Final question, number six. We're going to wrap up. Why do some resist baptism? Why do some say it's not for me? I'm going to give you four reasons. And I think every reason is covered here. Four reasons. Number one, some people resist baptism out of ignorance. They just don't know how important it is. It's very possible that you got saved at a camp as a kid and never followed through with baptism at church, and years pass, and you just don't see the importance of it anymore. I'm a Christian. I don't need to be baptized. Maybe you attend a church that underemphasizes baptism for some one reason or another. They don't teach about it. Or you just happen to miss enough that you don't hear the teaching because you don't come every week. And maybe the pastor speaks about it once a year or once every 2 years. But if you miss, maybe you just don't know how important it is. So that's ignorance. None of you have that excuse anymore. You've seen what God teaches. You can't say, I don't know what it means. You do know what it means. You have a choice to obey or not obey. Number two. Some resist baptism because of ignorance, some because of pride. This is the bigger one. Maybe you're shy, don't want to identify, don't want to have to say anything in front of anybody. You just as soon stay in the back row somewhere. You're a wallflower, you don't want to be in the limelight. You don't want to stand up, you're afraid you might be embarrassed, or you might get humiliated, your hair looks stringy and your dress won't look good, or your outfit, you just don't know about this, you're afraid. That's pride. Humble yourself and be baptized. Or maybe you were saved so many years ago that you're ashamed that you didn't get baptized then, and so you're ashamed to admit that you've delayed so long. That's just pride. We understand how we procrastinate and don't get around to doing stuff. If you haven't been baptized, don't let pride get in your way. Get baptized in the biblical way. Pride is always a deterrent from doing the right thing. Swallow your pride, humble yourself, and do the right thing. Okay, some resist baptism because of ignorance, some because of pride, Number three, some because of indifference. There are some who just don't take their spiritual life that seriously, that casual. You say, well, I'm saved, but I don't really want to make Jesus my Lord and obey everything. I don't really want to go to church that much or go to Bible study. I don't really take growing that important or reading the Bible. Makes me wonder if you're a Christian at all. Because a Christian has a love for God, a love for His Word. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They want to do the right thing. So if you're ever indifferent, it may be evidence you have a cold heart instead of a warm heart, a heart that wants to follow. If you're saying, why bother? It's not that important to me. Then maybe God's not that important to you. Is He number one in your life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. You better check your heart if you're indifferent. All right, number four. Some resist baptism because of ignorance or pride or indifference. Number four, because of defiance. Some know what is right and they simply say, I'm not going to obey that. I don't need to do that. They profess Christ with their mouth, but disobey Him with their actions. Listen now. Jesus must be Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. If you're saying no to Jesus, you're saying no to God. Do you want to follow Him or not? Don't resist Him. Don't be defiant. Humble yourself. Soften your heart. And do the right thing. Not just in baptism, but in every area of your life. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't be defiant. It's never too late to do the right thing. Repent and be baptized, John said. Repent and be baptized, Jesus said. I'm telling you, repent and be baptized if you haven't been baptized. Amen? Years ago in Guidepost Magazine, there was an article about Paul Harvey. You ever heard of Paul Harvey? The older generation all know who Paul Harvey is. The younger generation, he's been forgotten. Great radio personality, fantastic testimony for the Lord. He describes his baptism. Would you like to hear that? That's what we'll wrap up with. Seemingly, I had everything which a man could ask. Everything, that is, except a quiet heart. Something was missing. In March of last year, Angel and I were vacationing in Arizona. And one Sunday morning, we decided to attend services at a small church on a hilltop. Inside were a dozen or so worshipers on wooden folding chairs, a scene reminiscent of ones I had seen many times as a youth. The minister preached about baptism, and my attention began to focus on the simple eloquence of this country preacher. I twisted in my chair. Submission to God, the minister said. He asked those who wanted to be baptized to join him. I found myself at his side. The preacher said there was nothing magical about the water. Yet, as I descended into its depths and rose again, I knew something had changed. Something had happened. No longer were there two Paul Harveys, but just one happy Paul Harvey. I felt the fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit. Afterward, I cried like a baby. I looked at Angel and her eyes were shining. The change in my life since the simple act has been indescribable. Since totally yielding to Him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act, and because one's dignity gets drenched as one's body gets drenched, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in talking about my beliefs. He had beliefs, but he'd been private about it. When he became public, when he went public and got baptized, he said, I had an unself-consciousness about talking about my beliefs. Now he had identified with Christ and His church. Have you? Are you a believer? If you're not a believer, become a believer. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the first step. If you've made that step, make the next step and be baptized and live in obedience to Christ. It's not too late. You may have put it off a long time. Don't put it off any longer. Now, I'm not going to go to the door today as I close. I'm going to stay up here. If you'd like to talk to me about your baptism or your desire to be baptized, I'll hang out here as long as you wish. Amen? All right, let's stand together. Look at this last verse. Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? What prevents you from being baptized? I'm saying the water's there. We're ready. But you need to make that step. Thank you, Father, for your word that teaches us so eloquently about the importance of baptism and identifying with your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.